Welcome to Childhood Matters.
Presented by Childhood Matters Incorporated.
Childhood Matters.
For parents and everyone else who cares for or about kids.
Here's your host, Rona Renner.
Good morning and welcome to Childhood Matters. As you get your children up this morning, think about their oral health. Did they brush their teeth last night? And how often do you take them to the dentist? If you have an infant, what precautions do you take to help them right from the start? Today, we'll talk with you about brushing, flossing, germs, junk food, and the importance of good dental care. I'm Nurse Rona, and I'm here Sundays to present important topics to parents, grandparents, foster parents, childcare providers, big sisters, big brothers, or anyone who cares for and about children. Now, there are a wide range of issues to discuss today about good oral health. I want to start off with talking about dental disease. It's a significant public health problem for children throughout the Bay Area. And the children who are at the highest risk are the ones least likely to have access to good dental care. Children of low-income families suffer the most. When treatment is not available, dental disease can lead to pain, trouble speaking, distracted behavior, and other health problems like ear and sinus infections. Cavities affect more children than any other chronic disease. Now, some of you may have good health insurance and you take your child for regular checkups, but perhaps you can't seem to get them to brush or floss their teeth. Some parents use a timer to make sure the child is brushing, and others brush their kids' teeth for them every night. I know that when my kids were young, there was much more I could have done, but I didn't really worry too much. I had dental health care, and as long as they went to the dentist each year, I thought they were fine. But the guidelines for good oral health have changed, and you might be surprised when you learn the age you should start taking your child to the dentist. As always on Childhood Matters, we want to hear from you. How do you get your kids to take good care of their teeth? And do you know about the new legislation requiring all children to get a dental checkup by May 31st of their first year in public school at kindergarten or first grade? Stay tuned and we'll tell you all about it. Today, as always, we want to hear from you. Give us a call. The lines are open toll free. 1-877-372-KIDS. That's 877-372-5437. Today's program is made possible in part by funding from the United Way of the Bay Area. Now, joining me in the studio today is Dr. Karen Taniguchi. She's a pediatric dentist with Alameda Pediatric Dentistry. In addition to caring for her young patients, Karen volunteers at Alameda Elementary Schools and Head Start classrooms, encouraging kids to brush, floss, and eat properly, really to stay healthy and to do better in school. Each year, she organizes Alameda Pediatric Dentistry's Give Kids a Smile Day, inviting her colleagues and other East Bay dentists to provide oral health care to underserved children. Dr. Karen Taniguchi, welcome to our show.
Thank you very much for inviting me.
You're very welcome. I want to start off by asking you why you chose pediatrics as your dental specialty. I know that from all the years I took my kids to the dentist, we had a wonderful dentist, Dr. Wampler. He was fabulous. It's not that easy always to take care of kids. How did you decide to do that?
My job is very challenging sometimes. While I was studying in dental school, we had the opportunity to go and see all the various specialties within dentistry. And while I was in my pediatric rotation, I thought that this was a very unique opportunity, that I had this chance to meet with children and give them this opportunity to really give them the habits that they can have for the rest of their life, so that hopefully when they become older and as adults, that for them, dental health is going to be very important for them.
Yeah, a lot of prevention work can be done there. You know, if you had to name one thing that you think parents could do that they don't always do to maximize their child's oral health, what would that be? I know it's hard to just name one.
Okay. I think as parents, we want to do what's best for our children, and I think as a parent, one thing that can be so important in your child's life is really setting a good example for them. I know that when I'm seeing a lot of our kids at our practice, we really encourage them to floss, and a lot of parents will say, oh, well, yeah, I guess I should do that too. And I think if the parents could really step up and be that great role model for their children, That would make a big difference.
That's a good place to start. You know, it was funny. I was working on the show last night and typing stuff, and the next thing I knew is I had this desire to go floss. And I thought, right, I'm going to make up for all those times I didn't do it right now. So that's a really good example how we can teach by example. Thank you for that, Karen. Also with us this morning by phone is Debbie Diaz. She's the Executive Director of Community Oral Health Services in Monterey County. She's developed interactive preschool programs for children's oral health throughout Monterey and San Benito counties. Debbie manages outreach projects and mobile facilities to increase access for high-risk pregnant women, mothers, caregivers, infants, and children residing in rural Monterey County. She serves as the chair of the Monterey County Dental Advisory Board and is active with the First Five Monterey School Readiness Collaborative, Monterey County Health Head Start, and she's with the Mobile Health Clinics Network Advisory Board and a member of the University of Pacific Statewide Task Force on Oral Health for People with Special Needs. Debbie is joining us by phone from Salinas. Hi, Debbie Diaz.
Good morning, Rona. Good morning, Dr. Kanaguchi. How are you?
Thank you.
Good. Thanks for joining us. You know, maybe you could start off, Debbie, with telling our listeners about this new law. I think for some people it's a little confusing. Let us know what it requires.
Well, Rona, recently a new Assembly Bill, AB 1433, was passed. The law's ultimate goal is to try to connect every child in the school system at an early age to a dental home. So families that are starting their children either in kindergarten or first grade, if they didn't go to kindergarten, are required to have a dental assessment by a dental health professional. That doesn't necessarily mean a dentist. However, you know, the ultimate process would be to have a dental examination either by a pediatric dentist or a general dentist willing to see children at that age. Part of the process with this, I mean, on a public health specter, you know, we're really excited about this because this is sending a message to the school administrators, to the parents, to the community that oral health directly affects a child's ability to learn, grow, and thrive and start their school career, you know, off on the right foot. On the other hand, you know, we've gotten quite a few phone calls. We've got, you know, even teachers and parents a little nervous about how am I going to afford this?
Yes.
You know, this is just one more step that I have to, you know, worry about in the process of getting my child enrolled in school. And I've talked to so many dentists in the area, and Dr. Taniguchi, you might be able to talk about this a little bit as well. I'm really feeling that the local dental community is going to rise to a huge occasion on this. There's a lot of discussion about dentists opening their offices during, you know, certain times during the day to offer, you know, free evaluations. I know us as a community agency with our mobile facilities and just inside the schools, we'll be taking dental hygienists and dentists that are volunteering and going in probably kinder nights, kinder roundup nights, or transition to kindergarten nights, and during specific times throughout the year, working with the school administrators and the staff to get these requirements out of the way.
You know, I think you raise a good point that, you know, this is very important, and it will also bring to light the issues around health care and the disparities that we see. Dr. Taniguchi, you want to respond to Debbie on that?
Yes, I think talking to some of our colleagues, we're really trying to organize ourselves so that we can help take care of these patients so that they can come in and get their oral health assessments. And I, as Debbie was saying, we're really pleased with this law that it's hopefully going to give everybody a lot more awareness in terms of how important it is to go and pursue finding out how your oral health is, because it is really related to so many other things. And you've probably heard other stuff in the news about how if you have gum problems or things like that, then how it can affect you also with your whole health. So starting early is going to be very important.
Good. And on our website at childhoodmatters.org, we have a list of different counties and phone numbers to find out about events that are going on right now. And I also want to mention that there's also Healthy Families, where you can go and try and find out more information about dental care if you don't have coverage. And they can be reached at healthyfamilies.ca.gov, and we'll give out their phone number also later. Thank you for that, Debbie. I think we'll go ahead and start and take a listen to what our questions are coming up from our great listeners this morning. For people who don't have a chance to ask a dentist questions, this is your opportunity. We have two very experienced people here sitting with us this morning. The phone number is 1-877-372-KIDS, 877-372-5437. We'll start off with our live line this morning. We have our friend Keisha joining us. Hi, Keisha.
Good morning, Rona.
Good morning. How are your boys today?
Oh, they sound fine. I haven't really talked to them yet.
You're still waking up, are you?
I am.
How old are they now?
6 and 4.
6 and 4. Wow.
Chrissy just had a birthday.
Oh, wow. They're really growing up. Mm-hmm. Well, tell us, do you have a question, a particular question for us?
I actually have a question and a comment. My first question is, we were fortunate enough to take Winston and Quincy to the dentist on the earlier side before they started school. Quincy, of course, is still in preschool. And it's just, it's been really good because they have a great pediatric dentist. But we took Winston first because he had a lot of discoloration on his front teeth. And little did we know, like juices, like apple juices and some of the real fruit juices caused discoloration, and it kind of freaked us out because we thought maybe we rotted out his teeth.
Uh-huh.
And a lot of people were asking him, what's up? What's wrong with his front teeth? And so I think it was a real eye-opening experience for us to start learning about the things that can discolor your teeth, that that could also decay your teeth,
uh-huh.
Even in the kids, because we did have some friends who had, I want to say, the silver caps on the front teeth.
Yeah.
And it was something that, you know, we were really concerned about with Winston because he seemed to be more affected by it than Quincy. And
would,
I don't know.
Would you like us to ask Dr. Taniguchi about that?
Yeah.
Okay. Karen.
Okay. Well, good morning, Keisha.
Good morning.
It's really great that you brought in both of your boys so early to see the pediatric dentist. With regards to the discoloration that you were describing from the juices, it's likely that possibly some of the juices are reacting with some things that are in his mouth. It's the saliva plus all the buildup that occurs on the teeth that might be causing this discoloration. But like you were saying, with some of your friends whose kids who had silver caps, certainly juices have become somewhat of a culprit, quote unquote, in terms of all these kids getting a lot of cavities on their teeth.
Mm-hmm.
Many parents feel that the juices, because it's comes from a fruit, that they feel that, oh, it's very nutritious. Unfortunately, usually the juice is never going to be quite as nutritious as the fruit that it came from, and usually they are supplemented with some kind of syrup or some kind of other sugar to sweeten it. And when with a lot of kids, because they're drinking these juices sometimes whenever they want it, it's really the exposure to this juice that can be so detrimental to their teeth, causing which, in effect, after you take care of it, you end up getting those, like you were saying, some with your friends, they have these caps on their teeth.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. One key, I would imagine, is for parents to really reduce the amount of juice. And Debbie, do you teach parents to do that?
We do. And another thing that we caution parents with, you know, there was several years back, there was a real push to fight baby bottle tooth decay, which the term now has typically changed to early childhood caries. And one of the main reasons for that is because we were encouraging parents to get their children off the bottle at an early age, but we were also at the same time encouraging them to put them on cups. Well, thus evolved the sippy cup, which
yes.
has the cup that doesn't drip, you know, that you can turn it upside down and shake it. And really what it turned out to be was a surrogate bottle. And putting juices and putting the things that you typically were telling them don't put that in a bottle sounded safe because it was in a cup. So we've, you know, really had to work with families a lot on that because they thought they were doing the right thing. You know, the families and the parents that we work with, they all want to do the right thing, you know, and they thought that by changing from the bottle to the sippy cup at age one was the right track. It's really about what you're giving your child, how much sugar, how much carbohydrates are going into their bodies.
Yeah, so having the fruit, the apple, and a glass of water is really a better thing for your dental health.
Most definitely.
Yeah. Keisha, did you have another question?
Yes, I do, and now I'll take a little bit more of your time. I have a lovely, beautiful, handsome son named Quincy who sometimes still lays in the bed with me in Severn at night. And I just wanted to know about teeth grinding.
Uh-huh, good question.
Because I'll tell you, I know as adults we do it, but we can. There's like certain retainers or something you can put in your mouth. But,
yeah.
You know, he's only four, and Quincy grinds his teeth so much. And my concern is not only the sleepless nights me and Severn have, but more about his jaws and his teeth and
right.
how that will affect him in the future.
What a good question. You know, and I remember when we did a show last year on this, I remember a mom calling and saying that her child had grind the teeth so much that, you know, like half the tooth almost was missing. So I think there's a whole degree of how much grinding goes on. Dr. Taniguchi.
Yes. Actually, teeth grinding seems to be a pretty common occurrence in our own practice. We do see it quite frequently. We hope that for your child's sake that he's not stressed out. Usually that's the reason why a lot of adults do it.
Mm-hmm.
But one possibility is that as he's growing and developing, his jaws are growing. And so the teeth, usually they don't have their most stable position, so to speak. So we find that a lot of kids, maybe as they're trying to grow into their jaws, grow into their teeth, that this grinding sort of takes away little areas where maybe there was an interference so the teeth don't quite interdigitate completely. So it's a pretty common occurrence. We find that most of the time that this sort of habit actually goes away once more of their adult teeth come into place. So unlike with adults where you're placing mouth guards and things like that for nighttime use, we don't normally do that for a kid, mostly for a safety reason. They might accidentally swallow it. And then as they get older, usually we don't have to do anything unless they complain of any particular symptoms.
And, you know, it might be useful. You know, Keisha, is he someone who has trouble, like, sort of winding down?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. and so it could be almost, I don't know if this is true, Debbie, if you know, too, like a self-soothing kind of thing.
Well, I agree with Dr. Taniguchi. You know, there are a number of reasons, and I don't think there's really one that we can just put our finger on
yeah.
for any particular child for what that reason is. I know as adults, I mean, even I, if I'm working at the computer, I catch myself with my jaws clenched, you know.
Yeah.
And then as you go to bed at night and you soothe yourself, I mean, that I'm not saying that's not a possibility. I think anything is possible, but I don't have a clear-cut answer, and I would really defer that one to a
yeah.
pediatric.
Okay.
And you should, you know, on all of these, it's a good thing to ask your own dentist. And what I was thinking of, it might be really interesting to do like a little massage, a little music. You know, if you have a very wound up kind of kid who's very spirited and is having some trouble transitioning into sleep, it might be interesting to try some soothing things and see if that makes any difference. But as Dr. Taniguchi says, it might just be the physical difference in how his teeth are growing and his jaw is. Great question, Keisha. You know, I'd like to send you a book. It's called Arthur Tricks the Tooth Fairy.
Oh.
And
yeah.
It's one of those great Arthur books by Mark Brown, and we'll put that in the mail to you. Thanks for calling.
Thank you.
Take good care.
Okay,
so we're talking about oral health, brushing teeth. Are any of you having trouble getting your kids to brush and floss? And I'd like you to call and tell me when you think a child should go to the dentist, at what age? Because we haven't answered that question yet, and I want to talk about the importance of going early. So how early do you think that is? In a moment, we'll take your call.
Pick up the phone and be heard.
Call now at 1-877-372-KIDS. Childhood Matters.
Brought to you in part by
First Five, Santa Clara County.
Thanks for my child.
Your thoughts and opinions are coming up.
Do you need help finding community services? United Way's HelpLink may be the answer. HelpLink can help you access thousands of Bay Area health and human services like care for an elderly parent, after-school programs, free tax assistance, and more. United Way's HelpLink is free, confidential, and available in 150 languages. Dial 1-800-273-6222. That's 1-800-273-6222. In San Francisco, simply dial 211. Brought to you by United Way of the Bay Area.
Do you wonder why your child is getting so many shots these days? The main reason is that more and more vaccines have been developed to help prevent dangerous childhood diseases. Immunizations benefit your child and the vulnerable people around them. Stopping the spread of disease is what vaccines do. They reduce the number of deaths and disability from infections such as whooping cough, types of meningitis, measles, and many more. Some vaccines may have mild side effects, but serious complications are extremely rare. Immunizing protects your children and others around them from getting some serious life-threatening illnesses. Check out the recommendations of the American Academy of Pediatrics. Go to www.aap.org for more information, and also check with your pediatrician. And remember, children aren't the only ones who need to stay up to date on shots. Check with your doctor to see if you need a tetanus shot or other recommended vaccinations. This Childhood Matters Health Tip has been made possible by a grant from Kaiser Permanente, Northern California.
Do you have an innovative idea to benefit young children and their families in Alameda County? Every Child Counts is seeking applicants for the 2007 Community Grants Initiative. Applications are due by March 1. Here are the three categories you can apply for. Community support grants will fund activities that creatively address unmet needs and help organizations expand their services to focus on children birth to five and their families. Grants will be from $20,000 to $50,000 over 2 years. The targeted grants category supports the Every Child Counts priority areas as described on the website. Grants will be up to $150,000 over 2 years. Parenting partnership grants fund 2 years of parenting education and parent-child activities with grants up to $160,000. Awards will be made to programs serving families in Alameda County. For more information, visit the Every Child Counts website at www.ackids.org. This message is brought to you by Every Child Counts, First Five Alameda County.
Did your household earn less than $42,000 in 2006? You can get free tax return preparation and e-file assistance from United Way's Earn It, Keep It, Save It program. Over 100 free sites will be open during tax season in Alameda, Contra Costa, Marin, Napa, San Francisco, San Mateo, and Solano counties. To find a site near you, call 800-358-8832 or visit earnitkeepitsaveit.org. This message is brought to you by United Way of the Bay Area and First Five Contra Costa.
Children need a helping hand. Children need a promised land. Let the children feel again that love is alive.
You're listening to
Childhood Matters,
brought to you in part by Every Child Counts, First Five, Alameda County.
Childhood Matters.
We're talking with Dr. Karen Taniguchi, a pediatric dentist with Alameda Pediatric Dentistry, and Debbie Diaz, Executive Director of Community Oral Health Services in Monterey County. There's a line open for you now, 1-877-372-KIDS. Call us with your questions or suggestions about good oral health. When do you think a child should go to the dentist? And dads, I know you're out there listening. How do you get your kids to brush their teeth? Give us a call, 1-877-372-KIDS. Let's talk now with Dr. Dan in Santa Cruz. Hi.
Hi, how are you?
Good. Hi, Dr. Dan. Are you a dentist?
No, I'm a physician in natural medicine, and I see children as part of my practice. And I just wanted to ask the dentist, first of all, what they thought about the new awareness about amalgam fillings and their toxicity. And I want to make one comment. I think I overheard the last conversation about computer screens and problems with sleep.
No, they were talking about teeth grinding.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, well, yeah.
We usually look at teeth grinding in internal medicine as a mineral deficiency, a calcium magnesium deficiency. And so when I have that with my kids, I give them liquid calcium magnesium, and it's usually gone within 3 to 5 days.
Now, what about someone who doesn't go to a homeopathic doctor and doesn't do homeopathy? Is that something that their regular physician might be able to help them see if that's a problem or not?
Well, of course, homeopathy is only one-tenth of what natural doctors do. Homeopathy is just the use of micro doses of things. That we don't do with everybody. But what we do is try to rearrange the chemistry of electrolytes and of fatty acids and of the flora, especially with children, the flora in the intestines dictates the chemistry to the mouth.
Yeah. You know, Dr. Tan, what I'm thinking is there are a lot of people who probably wouldn't go to a homeopath or a natural doctor. I'm just wondering for this particular caller, if she asked her own doctor about this, is there a way for him to help find out whether there's a problem with calcium or magnesium?
Well, you know, doctors are trained in emergency medicine very well, and
yeah.
they're trained in acute problems.
Uh-huh.
And their track record for chronic diseases is terrible. And I think what the new medical system should be is the first line of treatment of chronic diseases should be to someone in natural medicine
uh-huh.
to try to not use drugs to start, especially with children, because they are much more sensitive
right.
and much more vulnerable
right.
to, first of all, drug medicine, and then they're much
well,
more
Well,
responsive.
Let me stop you here for a minute, because we're really talking this morning not about this. We're talking about oral health. Just what we want is for kids to go to their dentist and get a checkup, and
okay,
so that we can...
I endorse.
Yeah, good.
I wanted to ask
good.
Your guests what they thought of amalgam filling.
Okay, I'll check that out. And again, I think there's just this whole wide range of possibilities for health care. And I do respect a homeopathy. And I do respect the pediatricians I've worked with for millions of years now. I think there are different angles of how to look at health. And today, again, we're looking at good pediatric care. Dr. Tamaguchi, do you want to say anything about amalgam?
Dr. Cruz, which study were you referring to?
I'm not referring to a study. I'm referring to immunological responses to mercury in the mouth.
Mm.
And there's about a 30-year track record for numerous problems to the nervous system
okay.
and the immune system.
Let's see what
due to mercury that migrates into the jaw.
Let's see what our expert here has to say. I know this is not necessarily a subject that you're doing a lot of work with, but...
That's correct.
Yeah.
There was a study that was just published, I believe it was last year, by the Journal of the American Medical Association, where they had done a long-term study to figure out, were there any connections with the mercury in the amalgam and a lot of the other possibilities that it might cause, and they couldn't find any direct correlation. With regards to what we do here in practice, the amalgam is basically the standard of care, but we do offer the composite resin fillings to our patients as well. So as we see our patients, we really try to make it very clear that while we're talking to them, we want to find out what's good for them. So we want to talk with our patients, talk with our parents, and just figure out what's going to work out best for them.
And there's a lot more studies going on now because people are concerned about that. And I think the key is for people to go do some, you know, to find out where the research is. And do you present material to them to learn more about these different fillings?
Yes, as we see our new patients, we have a paper that lists all the materials that are used in dentistry and then what they contain, and that gives them a starting point in terms of what they want to find out more about, and then we try to give them our information in terms of what we want to do for them.
Thank you, Dr. Dan in Santa Cruz. And I want to say again that, you know, for some people, checking out alternatives about any problems their kids are having is definitely a possibility. And I know there are some good people out there doing that kind of work.
Childhood Matters.
Join in the conversation at 1-877-372-KIDS.
That's 1-877-372-KIDS.
Let's take more calls. We have Ida from South San Francisco. Good morning, Ida.
Hello.
Hi, thanks for joining us.
Hi,
Ida.
Hi, Rona. This is Ida in South San Francisco. And listening to your show, I just want to say I think to take children to the dentist, the earlier the better. And I took all three of my children when they were 3 years old.
Good. And you know, how old are your children now?
Well, actually, I have an adult child that's going to be 30.
Uh-huh.
I have a son that's 12, and I have a daughter that's 9.
You know, and in the day when my kids were young, they did say at 3 is when we should bring them to the dentist. Let me check with Debbie Diaz. What are people saying now?
Well, actually, the American Academy of Pediatric Dentists has come out with a recommendation. It's been about 4 years now that a child should go to their dentist by their first birthday or within 6 months of the eruption of their first tooth. Now, it's not uncommon to have general dentists still say 3 years of age. And I was just reading a paper last night that stated that a lot of general dentists, because they don't feel as comfortable treating young children, they're still staying with that age three. But they clearly understand and believe that the earlier that you get to the dentist, the better off you are. And in our organization and community oral health services, when we're working with the lower income population and families that don't have access to services, sometimes by age three, it is extremely too late. And I'm sure Dr. Taniguchi will support that theory. I'm sure she sees many children in her practice at age three and four that have what we call 20 teeth and 20 cavities. So really, we're talking about by their first birthday or 6 months after the eruption of the first tooth.
Ida, does that surprise you?
It does surprise me because, you know, with as much juice as us, you know, us parents, we all give our children, especially at the younger toddler age,
yeah,
juice, a lot of juice. And I just, and then they sleep with their bottles.
Yeah.
And, you know, it just, you know, I think if they get checked right away, you know, just to just see, you know, and then also to get the children comfortable with a dentist and being able to open their mouth for them and everything, I think that's just really important to get that that closeness with the dentist to be able to get, you know, to be comfortable with them.
Yes.
So that they're not nervous or they're not scared.
That's right.
You know, and I think that just is really important, too.
Dr. Taniguchi, you know, sometimes parents will bring their child with them to when they are getting their teeth checked also. Does that help?
Yes, that can be helpful, but as both Debbie and Ida were saying, that the younger you can bring them in, the better. And it's true that there are going to be some general dentists who aren't going to be really comfortable with seeing a 12-month-old or maybe even an 18-month-old. But as Debbie was saying, even in my own practice, unfortunately, sometimes by the time I see them, by the time that they're three or four, the damage has already been done. So, I've even seen a child as young as 18 months who had cavities. So definitely getting them in sooner is going to be very helpful.
Ida, how old is your youngest child, did you say?
She's nine.
I'm going to send you a fun book. It's called Open Wide by Lori Keller. It's really a fun book about teeth. And it tells all kinds of things about what the teeth are called and what they need. So thank you for your message.
You're welcome. And, you know, I feel like the last dentist appointment that they had, it just, you know, my dentist, they're so used to him. They've been there since they were 3 or 4 years old, and now they're older, and they just have a good relationship with the dentist, and it's very important.
Good job there, Ida. Thanks so much for calling.
You're welcome. Have a great day.
You too. Let's talk now with Yvette from Mountain View. Good morning, Yvette.
Good morning.
How you doing?
I'm good. How about you?
Oh, great. I brushed my teeth really well this morning. I'm proud of myself. So what would you like to ask?
Well, my question is, I just wanted to know, what is the typical time frame for after the children's, you know, first teeth fall out to grow back?
So after the baby teeth fall out, when should the regular teeth be coming back in, growing
because,
in?
Uh-huh. Because my son, he's 6 years old, and he lost his teeth quite a while ago, and his other teeth that he's lost have grown back. However, the front teeth haven't grown in yet.
Okay, let's see what our dentist says.
Okay, Yvette, with regards to your son, sometimes it can take up to 8 months before we actually see the new adult tooth coming in. In some cases, if you have either an infection or if there was trauma to the baby tooth before that adult tooth, sometimes the eruption can actually be somewhat delayed. So your best bet is probably to double check with your dentist or pediatric dentist and have your son looked at just to make sure if he hasn't been, especially in a little while, to make sure that everything's going in the right direction.
How old did you say your son is, Yvette?
His first dentist appointment, he was 2 years old. So.
Good job. Yeah. Let me ask you, I'm going to see what you think. Do you have him brush his teeth himself, or do you brush his teeth?
You know, I used to brush his teeth for him, but now I think, you know, I've taught him well enough to where he has to brush.
Yeah.
And
you know, the reason I'm asking, Yvette, is because back in the day, I remember when I thought it was a good idea to train my kids to brush their own teeth very early on.
Right.
And the last time we had a show, there was a whole debate about when kids should learn how to brush their own teeth. So I was just curious, at what age did you have him brushing his own teeth?
Probably about five, I would say.
Yeah.
You know, I would teach him, and even now to this day, after he's done brushing, I'm like, let me see your teeth.
Well, let me ask Debbie. Debbie, what age do you suggest parents, you know, brush their child's teeth up until?
Well, I was so pleased to hear her say that after she would say, let me check your teeth, because that's, you know, dexterity with children and their hand movement. We want them to learn how to be independent. And if my children are 25 and 23, but I certainly don't forget about how independent they were when they were very young. So they want to do things on their own. The important part, though, is to go back in after they're done and go back and rebrush just to make sure. I think age 8 is what's kind of been the recommendation, when children can be off on their own and brush their teeth, and you don't have to really oversee and go back and really check well.
You know, I was so surprised by that because, you know, I remember by age 3 or 4, you know, having my kids just totally do it themselves. Dr. Taniguchi, what do you tell parents?
With our parents, yes, generally age 8 is when I expect most kids should be able to handle the brushing on their own, but it really depends on the child, him or herself, because maturity levels will vary, so some kids may need a little bit more assistance later in their life. They might even be ready to do it by the time that they're 6. And with regards to flossing, it might even be as late as age 11 before they can really do it themselves.
Wow. So, Yvette, there you go. It seems like, you know, yeah, we really need to be paying attention to that. Sounds like you're doing a good job. I want to send you a book. It's called The Crocodile and the Dentist by Taro Gum. And we'll put that in the mail to you. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Have a good day.
Bye-bye.
Let's talk now with Margaret Fisher. Margaret Fisher has been on our show before as a guest, and she's with Marin County and will tell us a little bit about what's going on there. Hi, Margaret.
Hi, Rona. Hi, Debbie. Hi, Karen.
Margaret. Good morning.
Good morning. What would you like to let our listeners know about?
Well, I wanted to let everyone know that this topic is very important. Just delighted that we are having it on your show. I'm coordinating the first 5 Marin at the Marin County Health and Human Services, the Children's Oral Health Project, 0 to 5. And all the important points that you're bringing up correlate to what we're finding with our children. We go out into the schools and screen the children. And one thing that you've said that strikes me the most important is to bring your children to the dentist by 1, because prevention is key in oral health. So that is, I just couldn't say that more.
What happens, Margaret, in Marin County, for instance, if a child, if a parent doesn't have health insurance or they can't find a pediatric dentist, how do they get that help early on?
Well, in Marin County, there's 2 ways to go. One, they can call our project directly, which is 415-473-4248, and we can help them get services, because we were funded by First 5 Marin, and for those children that fall through the cracks and those ages, we can help. But there's another one-stop number for insurance, and that's really one of the first steps parents should do, is make sure that they have dental insurance coverage. And in Marin County, the number is 473-3434.
That's area code 415. I think the thing is, though, we're saying make sure you have dental insurance coverage, but we also know that, you know, with the healthcare system that we have, that there are a whole lot of families who don't have any insurance
That's
coverage.
Right.
Dr. Taniguchi, how do you help parents who don't have that kind of coverage?
With our patients, if that ends up being the case, we try to work with them as best as possible. Our whole goal is really to just promote oral health and really stress how important it is. So even if they don't have the funds for this type of insurance or anything, we try to work with them so that we can still get them the care that they need.
And again, on my website at childhoodmatters.org, we have phone numbers listed. Margaret, before we take a break, one of your keys for parents in terms of good oral health, what would you like to pass on?
I would like to say that we take care of all parts of our children's bodies, and that one recommendation is every month, flip the lip of your child. Check the health of your child's mouth. Look at the gums. Make sure there's no white lines there, little brown spots on the teeth. take care of their teeth like you would any other part of the body, checking the health.
Thank you so much. And the phone number where people can reach you again,
415-473-4248.
Margaret Fisher, you do great work, and I love your voice on our ad that we have for good oral health.
I'm so glad you're airing that.
So you're always part of our show.
Thank you.
Thanks, Margaret.
Have a good day.
You know, again, I think that I'd like to hear from people. Do you have trouble finding a pediatric dentist? Do you have trouble getting insurance? And how do you help your kids floss? We're talking about oral health in a moment. We'll take your call.
Get involved.
Give us a call at 1-877-372-KIDS.
Childhood Matters.
Thanks for taking the time to think about the kids.
I believe the children are our future.
More with Rona Renner after this.
Here is this week's Childhood Matters community calendar with events for parents and kids. Learn about Marin's mental health services in Greenbrae with Community Action Marin and the National Alliance on Mental Illness. Monday, February 12 from 7 to 8:30 p.m. For information, call 415-444-0480. That's 415-444-0480. Do you work with new mothers who are at risk for postpartum depression? Attend an information session in Fremont, presented by the Fremont Family Resource Center and First 5 Alameda, Tuesday, February 13, from 2 to 4 p.m. For information, call 510-574-2100. That's 510-574-2100. Visit the Brentwood Library for storytelling with Diana Knapharst, singing, storytelling, and clowning, Wednesday, February 14 at 4 p.m. For information, call 925-634-4101. That's 925-634-4101. Join the Children's Discovery Museum of San Jose for musical storytelling. Clarinetist Michael Corner retells a Vietnamese folktale, Thursday, February 15 at 10:30 a.m. and 11:30 a.m. For information, call 408-298-5437. That's 408-298-5437. Daily City Parents, learn to build a positive parent-child relationship. The Human Services Agency presents Successful Parenting, Friday, February 16, from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. For information, call 650-573-2629. That's 650-573-2629. Visit the San Francisco Museum of the African Diaspora for Target Community Day. Free admission, performances, and hands-on activities. Saturday, February 17, from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. For information, call 415-358-7200. That's 415-358-7200. For additional information and more events, visit our website at childhoodmatters.org. And to submit events, email info@childhoodmatters.org. For Childhood Matters, I'm Sharon Adam.
Are you looking for creative, stimulating, age-appropriate events and activities to do with your young children? Check out the ArtsopolisKids.com website and discover a whole new world of events and activity information appropriate for children under 12 and their families, with a particular focus on children 0 to 5. ArtsopolisKids.com is an extension of its parent website, ArtsOpolis.com, the leading online resource for arts and cultural information in the Silicon Valley and beyond. Log on to ArtsopolisKids.com. That's ArtsOpolisKids.com. And discover the fun and creative ways you can spend time with your family. There's music, theater, arts, dancing, parks, and festivals. Things to see, things to do, and places to go. Sponsored by First 5 Santa Clara County. The first 5 years. Make them count.
Old school and today's R&B.
Broadcasted live.
Online.
Right here.
981KISSFM.com.
We continue with Childhood Matters, brought to you in part by First 5 Santa Clara County.
Here's Rona Renner.
We're talking with Dr. Karen Taniguchi and Debbie Diaz, and we're talking with you, the great listeners of Childhood Matters. We'll go to Susie in San Jose. Good morning, Susie. Hi.
Here I am. Hi.
Here you are. You're on the air. Do you have a question for us?
I do. First of all, I wanted to tell you I did have trouble finding a pediatric dentist, but I looked and looked and finally found somebody good.
Good.
But I was surprised how many dentists didn't differentiate that aspect of dental care.
Yeah.
But my main question was, my daughter, just after her fifth birthday, lost one of her front teeth, and She's now 5 and a half and gone 6 months without that front tooth, and I don't expect she'll get it for a while longer. And I'm wondering, does that affect her orthodontia health? Are the other teeth going to shift at all, or is there anything I can do to, you know, make sure her mouth is in its best health?
Dr. Taniguchi?
You said that it fell out when she was about 5, and she's about 5 and a half now. Is that correct?
Yeah, actually, she had to have it taken out. It was injured.
Oh, I see. Okay. Usually, if there has been some kind of trauma to the baby tooth, there is a possibility that the eruption time for that may be a little bit delayed. But in terms of what you can do to reduce any possibility of having braces later in the future, the teeth kind of have a path of their own, and they're coming in the way they're going to be coming in. Did you or your husband or your father, as is the daughter's father, did you guys have braces?
Yeah, we both did.
Okay. There's certainly a possibility that she may also be a candidate for it, but at this age, it's going to be a little difficult to tell whether or not that's going to be the case. We'll probably want to wait till she's a little bit older and has more of her adult teeth.
And then also check with the pediatric dentist,
yes.
Right? Great question. I'd like to send you a book called The Missing Tooth by Joanna Cole. I think this is an appropriate book, and we'll put all the titles on our website also for other people. Thanks so much for your question.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. We now have, we have Rachel from Concord. Hi, Rachel.
Hello.
Hi. What would you like to ask?
So I have two questions. One is, I have a son who's nearly 11, and he really doesn't do a very good job brushing his teeth himself. I mean, I know I don't necessarily want to go in and try and redo it at almost 11 years old, but then trying to floss him, my question is, what are some specific ways that can make flossing easier? Because he can't stand me doing it because it hurts him, and he doesn't know how to do it.
Okay. Good question.
Dinosaur picks, and I've tried, you know, all kinds of different things. That was the first. And the other is about those rinses that people, these new rinses where kids drink the, or not drink it, but use it in their mouth and turns blue, and supposed to tell them where to brush, but they have sugar in them. So I'm wondering if they recommend those or don't recommend those.
Good. Let's start with Debbie on this one. How do you help parents teach kids to floss?
Well, flossing is difficult, not just for children. I mean, adults as well. And I think you said it yourself, Rona. Sometimes we, as adults, start flossing maybe 2 or 3 weeks before we go in for our regular cleaning, just so we can truthfully answer that question.
And so the gums don't bleed so much. Right. You got it.
So it is a difficult task. But we have these little floss threaders that we use, and you can buy them at Long's. And I think I've even seen them in the dollar stores. And they're pre-flossed, and you can hold them, and they look very fun to use. Some of them look like dinosaurs and little characters, and they can actually hold those and put those in between the teeth. Dr. Taniguchi said something earlier that I think is just key, and that's modeling. Sometimes just flossing with your child, and you know, either in the bathroom or the living room. I mean, it's not uncommon for people to sit and watch television and floss their teeth.
That's right.
And I think that's key also. It's really the habit. It's getting in the habit of doing that, and it's like anything else. After you brush your hair, you know, you get into a habit. You're not going to walk out of the house without brushing your
hair. Yeah, so I think modeling is really good. Let me ask Dr. Taniguchi about those rinses.
With regards to those rinses, the ones that do stain where you haven't brushed your teeth, a lot of times these rinses do contain, it's technically a sugar, but it doesn't have the same sort of properties that you might be familiar with, like, say, with candies and things like that. So double check with the rinse itself, and then have your dentist or pediatric dentist evaluate it, because if it is one of those non-cavity forming sugars that they use, then that should be okay for them to use.
And what about the electric brushes, Dr. Taniguchi? Do you think those work well to help kids get in those crevices and stuff?
If you use the, in general, the ones that are the little battery-powered ones, I'm not particularly sure in terms of the research whether or not it has the same capability as, say, some of the ones that are really more geared towards adults. The nice part is that a lot of them do have timers, so that gives you kind of an idea how long you should be doing it. But sometimes the vibration, a lot of kids can't really tolerate it, so you'll have to double check with each child.
And sometimes it's a real plus because they think it's a great little new toy.
Yes.
So, yeah. Good. Well, thank you so much for your questions, Rachel.
Thank you. Can you just tell me how often they should floss? I know I floss every day. I love to floss, and I do it twice a day, but should I try and have my child do it once a day or twice a day? Or
ideally, at least once a day would be fine.
Yeah, once a day would be good, and good luck with that, because, again, I missed the boat on that. I'm not sure what my kids do now as they're adults. I don't even want to check. So good luck. And I think the other good thing to do is to, again, have the dentist talk with your child about the flossing. Have the dental hygienist show your child. Sometimes when they hear it from another person, it really helps. Let's talk now with Linda in Castro Valley. Good morning, Linda. Hi.
Hi. I'm calling about my grandsons that are 2 and 4, and they are a low-income family. The 4-year-old does have cavities, and they have been referred to a dentist. How do we know that this dentist is qualified to put him under anesthesia?
Now, why does he have to go under anesthesia?
Because he does have numerous cavities.
I see.
And he didn't do well during the exam at all.
Okay, Dr. Taniguchi, good question.
With regards to sedating young children, for a dentist to do that, they need to have a conscious sedation permit if they're going to use an oral medication. If they're going to go through a route, like say an IV sort of sedation, then they need to have a different permit for that.
Is that recommended, or could the child actually tolerate getting a filling without it? I mean, he moved around a lot. Because this was the first time that she took them.
Right. It really depends on the child, and this is part of the thing. When I'm seeing my patients, I try to talk to the parents and find out what their expectations are. Some parents, they don't mind if the child is squirming and just getting upset, whereas some parents, they really want them to be nice and quiet the whole time. And with dental treatment in general, it's very stimulating. You do, the teeth will be numb, but a lot of times kids are reacting to other things. They don't like the sound of the drill. They don't like the vibration. They don't like the taste of things. So they may actually still get upset, but it's not because they're necessarily in pain. So it would be good to have mom and you perhaps talk with the dentist and find out really what your expectations are.
And also, is the parent or whoever allowed to be in that room with the child?
That's going to vary with that particular doctor.
You know, I would say that it would be great if the parent could be there, but it depends on the sedation, I guess. Debbie, do you have you want to weigh in on this at all?
Well, I think, too, don't be afraid to ask more questions, because you need to feel comfortable with what's happening, and the mother needs, and the parents need to feel comfortable, because there are different types of anesthesia, just like Dr. Taniguchi had mentioned. There's the oral conscious sedation, which really, the child is almost always still awake. It's just more of a medication to make the child relax and sedated. And if your child has so many cavities that they have to come back 2, 3, 4 times, and they're very young and very apprehensive, chances are, as adults, they're not going to go back to the dentist either. A lot of us at my age, Roni, I don't know, you might be able to chime in on this one, we don't have the best memories of going to the dentist.
Neither do I.
Yeah.
Dentistry has changed so much.
That's right.
And oral conscious sedation has been a big part of that. Then, again, there's the other types of sedation where the child is put completely under. Sometimes it's done with IV sedation in the office. Sometimes it's even done in an outpatient operating room. So
when they do it with the IV, that is the one where you read about where the child has died because they haven't gauged the medication properly.
Dr. Taniguchi?
In our particular practice, when we have the patients who need the IV sedation, we utilize an anesthesiologist, a pediatric anesthesiologist from the children's hospital. So we entrust in them to help us with our patients to get the treatment that they need.
So what I want to say is two things here. One is always the least amount is better if it works with the child. So the other thing is you want to ask them what they're licensed for. You want to ask more questions. And, Dr. Taniguchi, you could also try a lighter amount of sedation, or even having mom and grandma hold him. And then if it doesn't work, you could always stop and come back again, right?
Yes.
Because we're not talking about something like, a broken arm that has to be done immediately. It's important that this get taken care of. But I think they could probably start with something lighter if the doctor is happy with that. And then if that doesn't work, always go the next step.
And mm-hmm. I
also think, ask how, you know, if this is a common procedure that this particular office does. Because there's, in Monterey County, we have a local pediatric dental practice here, and they do this every day.
Yes.
You know, and they have four dental assistants that are, you know, right, that are trained and right by their sides, and one's monitoring, you know, vitals. The other one is monitoring oxygen levels. So, I mean, this is something that people are really specialized
in.
Not everybody does this.
Thank you for that so much. Good luck with your grandchild, and we'll send you a book on visiting the dentist also. Thanks for your call. You know what? We're out of time. It's amazing. One question of someone who's calling wants to know how often to see the dentist. So as we go out here, Dr. Taniguchi, how often should people see the dentist?
Ideally every 6 months.
Every 6 months for a child of all ages, if you can do that. And again, find that care, if you can find the care from people who provide it in the community. Debbie Diaz, how can people find out more about your work?
Well, if they just have any questions on how to access services in any county, we can be a resource for them. They can dial our number at 831-422-6889.
Debbie Diaz, thank you so much, and Dr. Karen Taniguchi in Alameda County. Well, thank you to our listeners. This is Rona here on Childhood Matters, getting ready to go home and floss again. I want to thank our producers, Sharon Adam and Liz Curtis, our assistant producer, Peter B. Collins, our executive producer, and Nate Lopez, the KISS engineer at the controls. Other people of our team, Hillary Flynn, Susan Karp, Elisa Llewellyn, Nasmin Bishop, and Mick Renner. This is Rona saying goodbye until next week. And remember, spend time with your child and don't forget to take good care of yourself. Childhood matters, and so do you.
You've been listening to Childhood Matters.
Produced by Collins Media Services and presented by Childhood Matters Incorporated.
To find out more, log on childhoodmatters.org.
Join us again next Sunday morning at 9 for Childhood Matters. And now, please give your kids a big kiss.